T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we've talked just a little bit of football for the morning so far, but let's get into maybe some basketball stuff with March Madness going on. And Charlie has been chomping at the bit to get to the fast break, never so aptly named. What do you got, Charlie?
Yeah, you know, I was letting you guys do football the first hour because I know.
Well, thanks
I'm
not for allowing me.
Yeah, I was. Hey, I'm the producer.
It's very nice.
Right? I'm in charge.
Oh,
here.
Definitely.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's Don't you forget it. All right, we'll start with Collar here. We're a round and a half into the men's NCAA tournament. We are one round, and looks like we started round two here in the women's bracket. Collar, off air, you were telling me you haven't watched too much of the men's this year, but have you watched the women's much?
Yes, a ton. Yep.
I would imagine.
My wife is a women's basketball broadcaster, so I am in the 99th percentile of knowledge of women's basketball. So.
Wonderful. Well, this is going to this should work for you. We were also talking a little bit, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later. Some upsets in the men's, quite a few. Only one upset in the entire women's bracket in the first round. But a simple question regarding the NCAA tournaments. You've seen every team play now at least one time. I want just pick your winner, men's and women's.
Who's still in it?
just pick. Just come on. Don't pick Kentucky because, yeah.
They're not in it anymore?
They're not.
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't watched any of the men's tournament.
Do you know who the top seed is?
Do not know who the top seed is.
Okay, this is getting tough. Give me women's. Pete, you're going to do men's for Collar.
Okay.
Collar, give me the women's.
Okay. After I gave up on brackets, it just never drew me back in. And, men's basketball can be a real struggle to watch sometimes. They miss a lot of 3-point shots. But anyway. On the women's side, it's an easy pick. It's South Carolina. South Carolina is the runaway best team in women's college basketball. I think Iowa, of course, is getting all the attention. They have a chance to get to the national championship. I think they might be a little too flawed and might have a bad game here or there. But South Carolina they're deep. They're super talented. They're the most athletic team, but they also shoot more threes than they did last year because they got a transfer from Oregon who's a freakish 45% three-point shooter. And defensively, they allow opponents to shoot 32%, which is number one in the nation. Dawn Staley, one of the greatest coaches of all time. Yeah, they're in a really good spot. So South Carolina would be my winner.
Is it to the point where does anybody even have a chance?
Yes.
LSU?
LSU might have a chance. LSU played South Carolina close. And three-pointers are always the difference maker, right? So you could see someone getting hot against them. But it's going to be tough. Like, they are by far the best team, I think.
All right, Pete, you got the men's side. Who are we taking?
All right. By far, the best team there is UConn. Not that that's a shock, because they were somewhere in the top three most of the entire year. You had teams like Houston going in and out of that. But what I like about UConn is that they don't just have the one or two players that everybody looks to get them. They have their starting five are all equally delivering on everything that they do. And they shoot three-pointers pretty daggone well as well. They got a guard named Cam Spencer who – he's 44% shooting from three. So he's a heck of a shooter. The way they run up and down the court, they are athletic. They do everything that you'd want. I think the way they're coached is incredible. I think that team is they should walk their way through. But the one that I think is going to happen today or sometime soon is I like what we've seen out of Gonzaga. I just find them to be a team that always seems to get to the Sweet 16. They've done it again, and it's going to be interesting to see how far they get from here at this point.
Yeah, in a year where many thought Gonzaga was having a down year, losing to St. Mary's two out of three times, they end up already making it to the Sweet 16 pretty easily.
Should I be, like, expelled from society for not watching the men's side of this? I feel so much on the outside of this conversation right now.
You watch the entire women's tournament, so I think we can give you a pass. At least you're watching some.
I watched the Big Ten men's basketball tournament, which was really entertaining. Yeah. So I'm familiar with those teams, but they keep losing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean,
Purdue will stumble too, by the way. They'll stumble.
Oh, that's what I should have said. I do know Purdue. They got the huge guy.
Zach Edey.
There's your take.
All right, Pete, we'll keep with you here. Thursday in Kansas City, Twins take the field for the first time in the 2024 MLB regular season. That is going to be, man, I don't have the time off the top of my head. I should have done a little more prep there, had the time. I don't. It's Thursday, though. It's going to be on air here. Listen in. Pete, just one bold prediction for the Minnesota Twins this year. Can be a team prediction, can be a player prediction. What do you got for me?
They're athletic. They looked great when I did get a chance to be down there for spring training with WCCO. It was fun. And walking around and meeting all the different players and seeing them. I think just as a team, I think they actually look a little bit different this year. And I think that they're going to have a much better record and get themselves at least a little deeper into the playoff. I don't think they're going to the World Series, but I think they're a team that can get pretty far along. They'll stumble at some point, and it'll probably be pitching, but I think they haven't absolutely improved on the pitching side of things as well.
Oh, come on, Pete. Give me the they're going to win the World Series take.
I don't think
come
they're going to win
the World Series. By the way,
but if you say it now and they do, then they can pull it back up and be like, wow, how did Pete know?
Exactly. That's what I would do. All right, 2:30 pregame on Thursday, 3:10 first pitch here on WCCO. Back to you, Matthew Collar. Week of scandals throughout sports.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen Shohei Ohtani, due to his former interpreter, being embroiled in a potential theft and gambling scandal. A lot of weird things happening in that one. If you've not kept up, there's some really great ESPN articles deep into what is still evolving as a scandal and being investigated. And then yesterday, out of nowhere, Kim Mulkey comes out, has a press conference saying,
out of nowhere,
I didn't do anything. Mm. What is she being accused of doing? We have no idea. It's not even released yet.
Yeah.
She's in the NCAA tournament. We don't know what's going on with Kim Mulkey. But based on those comments, she immediately went, don't trust the media. You're thinking maybe they got something good. So my question, Matthew Collar, favorite sports scandal of all time?
Oh.
What is your favorite?
Well, favorite is hard. It's like there's a lot of memorable ones.
That's a better version.
For me, it was the steroids was in baseball, which now probably everyone is using some version of something just like that. But at the time, it was really crushing to have Mark McGwire in that chase and how much fun it was. And, you know, Roger Maris's family there to have him break the record, him and Sosa. I don't know if, like, it actually brought baseball back the way people talk about it. But that's sort of the narrative of what happened there. And I was 12 when that was going on, which is the perfect time to be old. I know. I'm feeling older these days, Pete, at least I'm here with you. But that's like the perfect time as a kid to be having something super insanely awesome happening in sports. And I remember my brother and I, our parents let us stay up to watch one of McGwire's at bats. They were like breaking into television and then he hit it. So it's like great memories. And then it comes out like, yeah, that was all BS. They were just cheap.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Well, that's crushes my childhood, but you know, maybe I'll become a cynical sports talk host.
And
no, not you.
On it years later. Pete, you got any most memorable scandals for you?
Yeah, you know what? I think for me, it really, first of all, the steroid one absolutely steps up, but it's not just one. Let's also remember Lance Armstrong as well. So we've got, there's a couple things going on. You get baseball, you get cycling and everything else. How about the Belichick thing and the sign stealing? I always found that interesting because I don't care. I don't, if you can steal the signs, that means that somebody else is doing something wrong. And they always put it in a position where it seems as if the team is so good that they can actually react that quickly to be able to get in the way of something that's going on by stealing these signals. I think the whole thing is just garbage, but it's funny and it's great something to talk about, especially with that was really good as you got a little bit closer to the Super Bowl and that had everybody going. So I think that was a pretty fun one to keep up with.
I'm a little surprised you didn't go with the Love Boat, Pete. I think it was before you were here, caller.
Yeah. I know Love Boat.
I'm shocked that was
I mean,
not
if we're
answer.
Talking Vikings, the Wizenator is probably the funniest one.
The Wizenator was phenomenal.
I mean, if you're ranking NFL teams on funniest scandals, Vikings have to be in the top tier.
There was also one where the owner of the Phoenix Suns, who got run out and they have a new owner, but amidst all of the other terrible things that he was doing, one of them was that to honor Diana Taurasi because she is the goat, they brought in a bunch of actual goats into the arena, and they obviously defecated everywhere, and just no one knew what to do with them, and there was just goats. And it was like, you didn't think this one over, did you, rich guy?
I'm fine with the Mike Tice scalping scandal.
Oh, yes.
Scalping
tickets. Oh, that was phenomenal.
That was a good one, too.
Another Viking
Again,
one.
a really top-tier Viking scandal.
I'm sure he was the only guy who ever did that.
I know.
Hey, I got one last one you that you guys forgot. How about the SMU with the death penalty that they got and all of what was attached to that whole thing? But that one was incredible. And I still, to this day, one of the two running backs that went into the NFL actually took a pay cut when he left SMU for the NFL. So it was unbelievable what was going on down there. Jeez.
The sticky stuff that pitchers were using to put on their fingers, spider tack, I think it was called. And there was the pitcher for the Yankees who so clearly had it on his neck that you could actually see it on TV. The line on his neck where he had sticky stuff for his fingers.
I believe that was Michael Pineda.
Michael Pineda, who
was then a twin year later. Yeah. Big Mike did a good job for the Twins. Pete, we'll finish this off quick here.
Sure.
We're back to the NCAA tournament because I really love the NCAA tournament. It's my favorite. Yeah. This is really my favorite week of sports in the year. I know this is a football show now, apparently. But college basketball, NCAA tournament, MLB opening day, it's the best week of sports in the year for me. But there is always a star in the NCAA tournament in the first weekend. This year was Jack Golke of Oakland, who broke Steph Curry's three-point record for first weekend threes of a tournament. He hit 15 in his two games. Who was your favorite tournament wonder who, for the casual fan, kind of came out of nowhere, P? Who's somebody that you remember that ended up being great? Somebody like, well, Jack Golke, or if you recall from Northern Iowa, I believe, Ali Farouk-Manesh. Everybody remembers Ali Farouk-Manesh. Do you have one of those names, Pete?
I don't know if I have one of those names, but I will say this, since you're talking about how much you love the basketball tournament itself, I was a monster fan of Phi Slamma Jamma. And I thought that whole run that they had at Houston and the coach and some of the players that were so colorful and everything, I thought that was one of the most fun runs that I've ever seen from a team at the NCAA tournament. They were great.
Adam Morrison for me was the one, and convinced the Charlotte Bobcats to take him at the top of the draft.
He looked good.
And he really did.
He looked
but
great.
But the mustache and the hair, and he just looked like he should have been playing bass for a grunge band. And then, like, he was a lot of fun, and everybody made fun of him when he cried, but I thought that, like, it showed how much he put into it and how much he cared. But sometimes college players who are great do not turn out to be great NBA players. So, unfortunately, ended up with a lot of pressure on him. But I loved watching him play. I thought it was a really amazing and fun run for him.
Yeah, you're not going with Antonio Gates leading Kent State?
Oh, yeah, Antonio Gates. You know, how about I'll try for a throwback. How about, like, the O'Bannon brothers way back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Ed O'Bannon. That's how we lost our NCAA video game, and we're finally getting it back, was the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit. But, you know, Mike Bibby showing up for Arizona.
Bryce Drew, Valpo.
There's been a lot of them.
My favorite thing.
But this guy is me. Like, this is what I do. If they charted me at the park, like, that's exactly what it looks like. And Pete, I'm not kidding. I have a great jumper. I have nothing else. Nothing. I do. There's video evidence of this, but I do nothing else.
He shot 340 or so shots this year. Two of them were 2 points. He shot 338 threes.
This is a hero of mine.
You know, the best thing about him, though, guys, is the fact that he literally was a Division II guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and the one place that gave him the opportunity is Oakland, and the guy absolutely capitalized on it. So you just got to love his story, because it wasn't the guy who did the grind here and there. This guy came from D2 to get into the national tournament that everybody was talking about, what he looked like shooting the ball. Unreal.
It is cool. And I was familiar with that story because I have Twitter, but I haven't looked at brackets, so sorry, guys. Actually, I do have a topic, though, to talk about with you guys when we return. I want to talk about the upsets and the difference between the men and women's tournament, and which you actually like better. Lots of upsets early on or lots of great games later on. We'll discuss that when we come back. Matthew Collar.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Pete Najarian on the huddle. All right, Pete, here's a question for you with all this basketball going on. So you've been watching the men's tournament. I've been watching the women's tournament. And here's the difference. The women's tournament had a grand total of one upset in the entire first, 2 days of the tournament. Now, it is a tournament generally on both sides, you know, made exciting by its upsets. But historically, on the women's side, there's been a lot fewer. And this year, all the higher seeds except for Middle Tennessee State, what are they, the Raiders or something, go Middle Tennessee State. So they were the only upset. But on the men's side, it's almost an egregious amount of upsets. How many did you tell me there were, Charlie? Like 11?
11 if you count that 8-9.
Okay, so 11 where the lower seed won out of 32 games. So more than one out of every three games is a upset, which almost makes it not that upsetting anymore when they could do that. And I think, Pete, one of the reasons is because of the COVID years, you have like grown men playing against some one and done type of players, and they're just more experienced, or teams stay together more often. But which is better for you, the early madness or later having in the later rounds, having the heavy hitters go up against each other?
You know, I love the David versus Goliath storyline. I think it's phenomenal, and I think it's intriguing for all of us to see somebody go from almost nowhere to the next level, and maybe even the next level. And that's why I think the intrigue of somebody like an Oakland is so cool. I think what it is, the great thing about basketball, and I think this is the one difference between the women and the men, is I think that the men have so much more depth in terms of the elite players, and those players end up going all over the place. So you get a guy like Gokey playing for Oakland, who can shoot three pointers like nobody's ever seen before. But you add that to the rest of what they've got. And I think it creates this opportunity, and everybody's, we've gotten so used to it. It's why it's the madness. Right? March Madness is the Grand Canyons actually get somewhere. You just always are amazed that somebody gets as far as they do. And as I said earlier, I think Purdue maybe gets beat today. I think Utah State could potentially just step up as an 8 and hit Purdue out of there just because Purdue is so inconsistent throughout the year. So I don't know what causes that necessarily, but I think the David versus Goliath is awesome.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that the first two, I guess I should say 3 to 4 days of the men's tournament are really about the upsets. And that's what everybody watches for. And so to have it pay off is fun, and to have all these guys emerge, like that's what a lot of people don't watch men's basketball throughout the season outside of maybe their local school or their conference. And then we get to learn and we get to find out about these underdog stories and everything else. It is like a fundamental part of what makes it a great sporting event. So I do appreciate that. On the women's side, though, like in most years, now this year I didn't watch a ton of the men's side, as was evidenced by our last segment, but this year is all about LSU playing Iowa at some point, UConn potentially playing one of those two teams, South Carolina. Like, the heavy hitters are what this tournament is about. It's how far is Caitlin Clark going to go, right? Does Caitlin Clark end up matched up against Dawn Staley and the South Carolina team? That's really fundamentally what this is about. It would be nice to have a team sort of show up and surprise, but I agree that the concentration of talent is really toward only a handful of programs on the women's side, and the gap between the great South Carolinas and the underdogs is greater than it is on the men's side when it is more spread out. So I think that it kind of works in both ways. Like, you watch the early part on the men's side and that pays off, and then you get the monster matchups on the women's side later.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, by the way, I have to have a shout out for one of the employees that at Market Rebellion. His son is a basketball player. He's a guard for Duquesne. So it was really exciting, and listening to his father and how proud he was and all that. And obviously Illinois took care of business the other day, but that was a really good run that they had as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. Like, programs that have never done it before. Gosh, it would have been fun if Nebraska had won for the first time, except for instead they didn't and melted down. I was watching the Big Ten teams to see what they would do. But do you think as it goes along, because in past years it's been this way, that the underdogs will get filtered out? Or do you think that there's underdogs that have a chance to get to the Final Four?
There is the occasional, but to get to the Final Four, boy, that's a big stretch. And, you know, is it James Madison? If James Madison gets through past Duke, which I don't think is going to happen, but strange things happen all the time. And then you always wonder about these Ivies. It seems like every couple of years there's somebody, and this year it's Yale, but somebody who gets a little bit further than expected. And certainly the Auburn game was unexpected, but now San Diego State, who's very, very good, and we all know the connections to Minnesota and all the rest of those kinds of things. But Yale's an interesting team, and there's something about these Ivies that they can surprise you for sure.
Let me ask you this, Pete. Is there anything about the tournament that you would change? Because I have one thing that I wish that I could tweak. Is there anything that you would do differently?
I don't, but I'm curious at what you're thinking. What might be a good tweak? What do you got?
All right, I came up with a plan for instant replay to stop ruining my life. All right, it is dreadful. I was watching a game last night, women's game, and the ball went off of somebody's hand and went out of bounds, and nobody could figure out if it hit the other player's shin, and they watched it and watched it and watched it. I was looking at the clock, and it was about 12 minutes of real time at the end of a game. So we had to all stop, everybody in the arena, everybody at home, all stop for 12 minutes. Like, if there's a naked fan on the field in the NFL, they don't stop the game for 12 minutes. Like, it's insane. And so I came up with a rule that all referees, when they review something, should have 30 seconds to figure it out. And if they can't figure it out in 30 seconds, from the time they walk over, put on the headset, 30-second counter starts. It's over when it's over. You make your decision, and that's it. Because these long stoppages, basketball is already famous for these long stoppages with the timeouts. Now we're adding to that, and it feels like it's like college football with the marathon 5-hour games. Like, just make a decision, man. We're never going to be perfect here.
I think that's a great call by you, and it's probably one of the things that frustrates me most, whether it's the NFL, which I watch far more NFL than I do in college basketball and the NBA, but the time frame, you're so right. The time frame's got to be cut, and they've got to be able to make those decisions. And like you said, if you can't do it in a certain time frame of 30 seconds, 45 seconds, whatever it might be, then you know what? Go with whatever the call was and let's move on.
Yeah. I would like to see them address that. Not that they're struggling for ratings or anything else like that with what they've done so far, but it would move it along a little bit better. All right, let's take a quick break. And it's been almost 30 minutes since we talked about football. So I have a question about the Vikings division and where they stand right now. I'm going to ask Pete that when we return here on The Huddle. Question for you, Pete. So you're a Florida guy now, but I know at heart what you really are, right? You're one of us.
I am.
We didn't have much of a winter here. Would you be, had you been here for the entire winter in Minnesota, would you be sad without the snowstorms, without the cold, or would you have been thrilled to have not had a traditional winter, which seems to have arrived today? But until today, we had almost no snow. I think I plowed my driveway one time, very few days under 0 degrees. Would you have missed it, or would you have been thrilled?
I would have missed it. I really would have. And you know what? I come back sporadically. I'm up here. I'm up here right now. And of course, I come up when we literally, the weather all of a sudden got much better. Because believe it or not, Florida was kind of cold in January and February. And I'm not kidding. I left 55 degrees in January and came up here. It was 57 degrees. So, I mean, that's the kind of winter Minnesota's had. And, you know, and Florida was a little bit cold. Now it's pretty warm down there. I leave there and I come up here and we hit a lot of cold weather. And this is what, our second snowstorm in the last couple of days. So, but I love it. You know, I grew up here. I love it. I ski. And I was actually told my wife, I said, if the snow was good enough, I'd try to figure out a way to see if anybody's going to be open to go skiing. But I think it's going to be pretty sloppy.
Yeah, I would guess so. For me, I was kind of go back and forth on it because in one way, like I feel bad for everyone that likes outdoor winter activities. I am not one of those people. I do not enjoy being cold. I don't know how to ski. I do ice skate a little bit. I can play hockey, but that's just about it. So I had a great winter, but also there's so many things that are like winter festivals and everything else that just got blown out of the water. And where I go for my kind of daily jog is by this kind of big, I wouldn't call it a lake, more of a pond. And it didn't even freeze over. Like, what the heck? Because normally there's people out, you know, doing their ice fishing and everything else. So I think I just empathized with everyone who, if you're going to live in this icy hellscape, they make fun ways to deal with it. And this year, it was just kind of a relatively cool hellscape. So a lot of people missed out on it. I felt bad for them. But not
I'm
for
with
me.
You.
I was great. I think if winter was like this all the time in Minnesota, way more people would live here. If it wasn't terrifying to most people, they would move here. It's a great state.
Yeah, we don't want that, though.
No, exactly. I like the lack of traffic in comparison to if you go to, like, L.A. or something. Real quick question on the Vikings division, since we talked so much football earlier. If you were to lay it out this year, and we are a long way from the season starting, I know that, but just, you know, as you've seen the offseason play out for all these teams, knowing what the Bears did with Fields and that they're going to draft Caleb Williams, where would you put the Vikings in the division for next year?
Wow. I look at the Vikings and I'm very concerned at quarterback. I really am. And Sam Darnold's nice kid, I'm sure, and everything else, but just everything that I know on paper and what I've seen on TV watching him play, he's certainly not the answer. Yeah. And I know that he's more of a go-between and you try to draft a quarterback and let him sit behind for a while, but I just don't know how we win more than seven. Mm-hmm. I really don't. And meanwhile, I look at somebody like Detroit and what they've been able to do. They didn't have to do a lot in the offseason. They didn't do a whole lot in free agency other than they re-signed a lot of their players, which I think is a really good move. If you think that you've got the right chemistry already, why not? So quite a few offensive linemen they re-signed there. They did pick up a couple of folks in free agency. And then I look over at Green Bay or Chicago. Chicago grabs a running back. They always seem to find running backs, but they got DeAndre Swift. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good signing for them. And you and I talked about Josh Jacobs, but We didn't talk about Green Bay and the fact that they picked up a safety who's probably one of the better safeties in football, I would say.
Xavier McKinney, Yep,
he's a good one. Was with the Giants. He's another Alabama defensive player, like so many others. But they gave him a lot of money. I think right now when I look at the division, I'm like, well, Detroit's probably at top, but Green Bay's right on their heels. And I think that Chicago might leapfrog over us. So if that all happens, and it depends on the quarterback position for them as well, but if Caleb Williams lives up to everything that everybody expects, I think that unfortunately we might slide to be at the bottom of the North.
So what you're bringing up there is the reason why I would want to grip onto the 2025 first round draft pick when we talk about trading up, because that could be pretty high. I think they could be a 6 or 7 win team, and it's going to be difficult for some people who are more on the casual side of watching the Vikings if they have a 7-win season and then another 7-win season, because if you have to be sort of looking at it under a microscope to understand where they're trying to go with this. And we've seen lots of teams transition from kind of that middling, sputtering team into, all right, now you've got the cap space, you've got the quarterback, now you're going to take that big next step. But there's always a transition year, even for Detroit, Pete, when they went 9-8 and they beat Green Bay at the end of the season but didn't make the playoffs after starting, 1-6 in 2022. But everyone could see that they were on the way. And even at the beginning of the season with the Packers, they started slow, but you could see some of the signs that Jordan Love would have a chance to be good. Are you buying him, by the way, Jordan Love?
I still have a hard time buying into him, but I thought he looked far better than I had thought he was going to look this year. I think he really stepped up. Can he do it again and show us that he's consistent enough to be able to do that? I think there's a possibility that that's true, especially with the running game. That's going to really be huge for him, I think. But the other thing I'd love to throw out to you is this. Is it sacrilege for me to be the one guy on the planet who continues to say, why don't we trade JJ?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I figured it was.
Here's why I can't wrap my head around that one, Pete. I understand the logic of he's going to be expensive, it's just one player, and so forth. But I really need J.J. McCarthy or Drake May or whoever they get, Bo Nix. I need them to throw to Justin Jefferson, because I'll throw a stat out for you. When Kirk Cousins targeted Justin Jefferson, his quarterback rating was higher than this year's NFL MVP. And Lamar also ran the ball. So even it was higher than Aaron Rodgers when he won MVP. Like, he made Kirk Cousins better than Kirk Cousins is. And I want that for the next guy. So if I have to pay for that, I'm okay with it. I understand they have multiple holes to fix, but nothing is going to be more valuable than my quarterback succeeding, and nobody helps him more than Justin Jefferson.
Well, I love the fact that we've got two first-round picks, number one. But number two, if we hold on to those, you do actually have some sort of a trade deal with Justin. Think about it this way. Look at the depth of wide receivers this year. And I know they're not exactly JJ or whatever, but I think that there's 4 or 5 receivers that are outstanding coming out this year, and maybe more than that. And you could probably even out a way throughout whatever trade you would do. Can you imagine what kind of picks you'd be able to get out of a JJ trade right now when everybody sort of looks to him as the number one, you know, receiver in the entire NFL? I think we could get a lot of draft capital out of that.
Oh, they could take the next Laquan Treadwell and Jeff Gladney and not Mike Hughes,
guys.
And that's who you can use the draft picks on.
Give me those LSU receivers. Give me a Texas receiver. Give me somebody like that, or maybe even Florida State. I think a lot of the time in the past, you looked at those receivers and it was the mistake that everybody fell in love for the wrong reasons. These guys, I think, are the real deal. The two LSU receivers this year are, again, it's why their LSU is the wide receiver capital. Mm-hmm. Because you look in the NFL, you look at this year's draft, you've got two of them. And I think both of them are very comparable to what you've seen out of JJ. And I know that nobody likes hearing that, but I think it's true. Brian Thomas is unreal. Malik Nabers is absolutely outstanding. So I think there's a lot of reasons why it might make sense if you really step back for a moment.
Hey, and when Troy Williamson came out, loved that as a Randy Moss replacement.
Right, there's a lot of good examples.
There are, aren't there? All right, let's take a break, put a bow on the show when we return. All right, Pete, you mentioned you're up here in Minnesota. What do you got going on? How long are you staying? What are you doing?
I got one more week. I'll be up here through Easter and then heading back down. But I've got a bunch of conferences that I've got to speak at down there in Florida, in Miami and Hollywood, Florida, in the next couple of weeks. So got kind of a busy agenda in front of me, but it's always fun to be up here. I swear to you, it's great. It's great to see all my buddies. It was great to be at Gopher. You know, I got a chance to go to the Gopher practice yesterday, like we talked about, but I also went to a high school track meet over there on the university campus that was phenomenal. It was great to see these kids competing and doing all the things that they do. And I saw a lot of my buddies from high school that are now coaches at a various schools, Washburn High School, Edison High School. So it's really a lot of fun yesterday. It was a big sports day.
You know what I like about you, Pete, is that you like every sport. Like that you don't even seem to have there's a track meet going on, Pete's in. Like, what is the level of sport that is too far deep in the weeds for you to not like? But ping pong, would you watch two dudes just play ping pong if it was competitive?
I don't think I could do it.
That's too far.
I don't think I could do it. But you know, I was lucky enough when I went to high school at Minneapolis Central. It was awesome because we had, you know, great participation from everybody that was part of the school, and we could do almost every single sport. Mm. I mean, there were times where I was doing track, football, basketball. I also, you know, played a little bit of baseball. I did a lot of different things, and, you know, it was great because our coaches allowed us to be able to even do two sports at the same season. So because of that, it really does bring you to a point where you just sort of love everything, right? And I certainly do. I even skied. We had a ski team at Central High School, believe it or not. So did a little bit of, the only thing I didn't do there was hockey. And I played hockey all the way up into high school. And once I got to high school, I realized Central was probably not the best place for me to be as a hockey player. So I didn't play there.
What type of basketball player were you? Did you play basketball like a linebacker?
Yes. They put me in there and I literally was the guy underneath and I just tried to protect the hoop. And I wasn't tall. I'm only about 6'2" or a little bit more that maybe than that. But, you know, I was I would stand in front of the hoop and I'd try to block shots and do all the rest of it every once in a while. And, you know, I was lucky enough. I was a high hurdler. And so I had the ability to get up pretty quickly. And so I had a couple of dunks in my career too. That was kind of fun.
Well, that was so I played baseball in high school and I was a pitcher, and that was really my only sport that I played. Like pick up basketball all the time.
And I could see you being a football guy, man.
You know what? So I love football, obviously, as you could tell. But the problem was that I was neither. So I turned out to be almost 6'2". But when I was growing up, I had one of those like growth spurts that didn't happen till maybe 10th grade or so. So when I was growing up, I was small and there was nowhere to really put me, right? So I wasn't like big enough to be quarterback. They tried me at safety. There was a little while where I played right guard because I was kind of scrappy, but I didn't have like physical skills of like quickness or speed. I had good enough technique throwing a baseball, hitting a baseball, shooting a basketball. And that is still pretty much like who I am. Like I'm pretty good at golf. You know, like I can do technical stuff, hand-eye coordination, but I'm just not fast. I run funny. My wife makes fun of me. Oh, when you jog, you run on your toes. You look weird. And I'm like, there's nothing I can do about it. So football is so much of you got to have that physical, those traits. I didn't have any traits, Pete.
Yeah, it is amazing. And football is a different sport than I think all the rest of them in such different ways because you've got to have a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And you know, whether that's, you know, good or bad, I don't know, because I can tell you my body is, I've paid the price for it over the years for sure.
Right. So. Right. Well, that's the thing it's very hard to fit in if you're small and slow anywhere on the field. Basketball, it's possible. You get over in the corner, you shoot some threes, you can kind of fit in. Baseball, Jose Altuve is 5'6", and Aaron Judge is 6'7", but football is a little bit different. Always a pleasure, Pete. Glad we could get together, man. Everybody stay safe. It is looking pretty nasty out there. And Pete, we'll talk soon. We'll text about football.
Absolutely. Thanks, Matthew. Right.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Charlie. See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.